Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
I'm Lynn Scherr, sitting in for Celeste Headlee. It is now officially election week in Iraq. After a two-month delay and a blacklist banning more than 500 candidates, Sunday is the day to choose the new parliament, Iraq's first election since 2005. But far more is at stake than its 325 seats. The real issue is democracy. How smoothly will the elections go, and what will be the effect on the more than 100,000 U.S. troops serving there now? Gabriel Gatehouse is the BBC correspondent in Baghdad, and Laith Kuba is an Iraqi who was at one time involved in politics there and now is with the National Endowment for Democracy in Washington, D.C. Welcome to both of you.
Hello.
Gabriel, let me start with you. You outlined at the top the two issues, security and the makeup of the parliament and the government. Let's start with security. How safe is Iraq for these elections? Will they come off okay?
I think that's very hard to tell. Certainly there's a lot of apprehension. We've seen a few, over the past few months, a number of very high-profile attacks in Baghdad targeting government infrastructure, ministry buildings, and large hotels. And I think the message that people here have got from that is that these bombers, whoever they are, whether they're Ba'athists, which is the contention of the Iraqi government, or Al-Qaeda, which seems to be more what the U.S. military seems to suspect, that they can still strike. They still can get through these many, many hundreds and thousands of checkpoints that are across this country. Now, I've been speaking to the man in charge of Baghdad Operations Command. That's the body overall in charge of security. They say they're going to have around 200,000 security force personnel on duty in the capital alone. All these security forces, to such an extent that security forces are going to be voting before Election Day itself, because they're going to be busy on the day of the vote. Now, they're hoping that that will keep the country safe, but I think there is a lot of apprehension as we approach Sunday.
And just outline the issues for us, Gabriel. This is about 325 seats in Parliament. It's about who is re-elected, who is elected president or re-elected prime minister or not re-elected. The issues, is this purely about the individuals? Is this about Sunni versus Shia or what?
I think there's an element of that. I mean, the coalitions present a dizzying picture of shifting alliances at the moment. And I think even once the vote is counted, it's going to be hard to tell what kind of a government will eventually end up with. I think there is a sectarian element here. About a year ago, it looked like the Prime Minister, Nouri al-Maliki, who's running for re-election, was going onto a more secular line of campaigning. He turned his back on some of his Shiite, former Shiite colleagues. But as Election Day has approached, we've seen that sectarian rhetoric creeping back in. We had this whole row over a blacklist of candidates that you mentioned earlier who were banned from standing due to alleged links with Saddam Hussein's now outlawed Ba'ath Party. Now, although there were candidates from across the sectarian divide on that list, Sunnis have felt more targeted by it than Shiites. So, and then what we saw just a few days ago, Nouri al-Maliki announcing a reinstatement of several thousand former army officers from Saddam's army. This is another very sore point amongst Shiites. People wondering whether this was perhaps a political move trying to mitigate the bad press that he'd got amongst the Sunni community due to that blacklist. It's hard to tell how this is going to play out on Election Day itself amongst voters. I mean, I've been speaking to one of these former officers, a man called Muhammad Ali. He was a lieutenant in Saddam Hussein's army until 2003 when the invasion came in and the army was disbanded. He lost his job, just one of many who did. And I spoke to him just as he was going to re-register, and I asked him how he felt about being reintegrated into the armed forces.
I'm very happy to join the army again because, you know, this is our country and it's our job to, you know, defend it.
Can I ask you, when you were an officer in Saddam's army, were you a member of the Ba'ath Party?
Under Saddam Hussein, the Iraqis were not allowed to be officers unless they joined the Ba'ath Party.
You had to be a member of the Ba'ath Party.
Yeah. Many, many Iraqis are Ba'ath Party members, and they should not be responsible of all the mistakes committed in the past. All the Iraqis should take part in building this country, working together to bring prosperity to this country.
Laith Kuba, listening now to Gabriel's interview with this Baathist, who's been reinstated. First of all, Baathists were outlawed. Why are they coming back, number one? And number two, what is the effect of this and the election on U.S. troops and on the scheduled withdrawal?
Well, the key idea is after 7 years, a lot of Iraqis are saying, okay, Saddam was bad, and this is something we did not want to have. But what did we get in the last 7 years? And the most important thing Iraqis are missing is the presence of a strong state. They do want state institutions, services. They do want a process by which corruption is really kept at check and security is delivered in the streets. This they have not seen. I think people associate a strong state with the Baathists. Nobody wants the bad side of the Baathists, but I think they are saying, well, at least those guys knew how to run a state. And I think this is what is not spoken amongst Iraqi politicians. A lot of them want to shift the attention towards Saddam's terror, and I think others want to shift the attention towards what are you getting at the end of the day.
And, if the Baathists do come back in any numbers, what will the effect be on the U.S. troops and there are 100,000 troops there now and on the scheduled withdrawal?
Well, number one, I don't think, of course, the Baathists will come back ever. I think that's out of the question. But another form of politicians and another form of government is in the horizon and is pushing. But as far as the U.S. troops, I think the biggest question is the big picture, and that is today there is real tension between Iran and the U.S., and Iraq is the biggest playing field, I think, that will manifest that tension. Of course, Iran has a strategic interest, not only in Iraq, but now self-interest to defend itself, and it sees bugging down the U.S. in Iraq is something that will help its agenda. So I think there are real efforts to push towards getting to muddy the water in Iraq and making it far more difficult for the U.S. to be in Iraq. And I think this is going to drain a lot of U.S. resources.
Okay, Laith Kuba, an Iraqi, we thank you very much for your help. And Gabriel Gatehouse, quick last word. Does Nouri al-Maliki keep his job?
I think it's very hard to tell. Even if he gets the largest share of seats of any party, he's still going to have to cut a deal with a number of other coalitions. And there's lots of shifting sands at the moment.
Gabriel Gatehouse with the BBC. Thanks.